Welcome to this week's episode of Trista's Plate Story Podcast. I'm Trista Polo from iwokeupawesome.com, and I am your host. Each week, we learn the story behind that vanity plate. You know, the one you saw driving down the road? What did it say? What did it mean? Why did they choose it? This week, we meet Raylene Toskoski of Southeastern Connecticut. Her plate, Romance, is a nod to her profession, bringing pure romance to the lives of women. Raylene shares her story, including the journey that led her to develop her unique mix of sex ed and stand-up comedy, which she now shares in living rooms throughout New England. For 13 years, Raylene has been educating women about how their bodies work and why they work that way. Along the way, she's gained some hilarious universal truths and insights that leave her guests roaring with laughter and a sense of relief that it's not just me. Stand-up comedy sex ed is about taking the living room on the road and letting everyone hear what they've been talking about in private. Stay tuned to the end to hear Raylene's top picks for a woman's pleasure. Her answer may surprise you. And tune in to the video on YouTube to get some exclusive content with visuals. Let's meet Raylene. Welcome to this week's episode of Trista's Plate Story Podcast. I am here with Raylene Toskoski, and she's a speaker and comedian from Southeastern Connecticut, and I'm excited to share her license plate, which is Romance. Welcome, Raylene.
Hi, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
I'm so excited.
This is the second iteration of my license plate. It is fully Romance now, R-O-M-A-N-C-E, but it started out as Armance, because that's how many letters I was allowed when I first got the license plate. So that was 2008. And the company that I work for, which was called Pure Romance, their tagline was, we put the O in romance. And so my license plate was Armance because we put the O in romance. I thought that was very clever.
That's adorable.
So that was on my old minivan, which I had for a bazillion years. And then when I bought my new car, which is a Mercedes, I went to renew the license plate, and I realized that Romance, all spelled out, was available.
That's exciting.
So I got a new license plate that says Romance, and so that's been on the back of my Mercedes.
I love it. Now, you're a stand-up comedian, and you're also a keynote speaker and a public speaker, and you talk about romance, but also sex. Tell us about what you normally speak about. What's your typical topic?
Well, let's just hope that good romance leads to sex, and sex is romantic. Let's go with that.
Okay,
I mean, not
great.
Always, but so with being in the direct sales industry for 13 years, every time I would do a party, people would say, oh my God, you're so funny. You need to go do stand-up comedy. And I would say, no, I am a good sit-down comic. Like, you have a cocktail, I stand in front of you, and I can make you laugh all night long, but put me on a stage and I'm going to freeze. Because I had tried it once when I was 27, lasted about 3 weeks, had the most massive, epic bomb on a stage. And I was like, I'm never, ever, ever going to do that again.
Yeah.
And at the time, I also had a business coach. And she said, what is your favorite part of the party? And I said, my favorite part of the party is when people are laughing so hard, they can't breathe, they're getting migraines, they're peeing their pants. Like, they're struggling. Like, that's my favorite thing ever. And she says, well, what about the shopping room when you're getting them the products that they need that are going to work, that'll help with their relationships? And I said, no, that's how I make money. So if I could just make the people laugh, mic drop, and walk the heck out, then that is what I would prefer to do.
Yeah.
And she said, okay, well, now I'm going to challenge you to go do an open mic. So I scheduled one, and I showed up that night, and I was terrified. And I said, I'm going to do this as a Facebook Live so that all of these people who keep saying I should do stand-up comedy can see me blank out on a stage, and they'll stop pestering me. Well, I did my Facebook Live, and I killed 5 minutes. I killed it. And I got off the stage, and there was one comedian that I had talked to, like, literally right before I went up. And he's like, holy crap, where did you come from? And I said, I swear to God, I've never done this before. And by the time I got home, I had 1,200 views. Within a week,
wow.
I had 7,500 views. And I had been asked to be on two people's shows.
That's amazing.
It really was. But what I learned about it is, one, I still wasn't very comfortable on stage. And two, comedy does not pay.
Oh, that's true.
Right.
I know some professional comedians. I don't mean even with the air quotes. They are actual professional comedians. And, you know, unless you get a TV gig or some kind of really good gig, yeah, it's hard.
So I'd be getting maybe $25, $50. Selling sex toys pays very well. So I was just like, I don't think I'm going to do this very often. And so I went back to just doing pure romance parties. And then when people would say, you should be a comedian, I would say, I am. And they'd say, where do you do shows? And I'm like, wherever people ask me to. But I never really reached out to anybody because I was just like, okay, I did it. Cool.
Yeah.
Well,
bucket list item, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was. I mean, people would say, oh my God, that's so cool. Tell me a joke. And I'm like, come on. That's not how that works. Nobody ever says to a gynecologist, check my vagina, like right now.
I mean, let's be honest, they probably do. Like, probably doc, can do. We go, can I ask you a quick question at a dinner party?
That's true. They probably do.
I used to be a real estate appraiser, and every time I went anywhere, there was a group of people, at least one person. I have a raised ranch in Wappingers. What do you think it's worth right now?
It was, yeah. So one night I did a show, and I did a good job. I liked it. The feedback was great. But I still wasn't comfortable. And the next day I did a pure romance party and I'm in my element and I'm joking around and I'm laughing and the girls are crying and they love me and I'm having the greatest time. And I said, why can't I get this feeling when I'm on stage? And then a couple of weeks later, out of nowhere, I couldn't sleep. And I have this thing where if I can't sleep for more than 15 or 20 minutes, if I'm tossing and turning, I'm just going to get up because it's not doing anything. So I got up and I had bought the book, You Are a Badass at Making Money by Jen Sincero, who also wrote You Are a Badass. And I picked it up and I sat down and when I opened it up, if you can just visualize the book open up and light just pouring right into my face, it was like, ah!
Yes.
And my brain and the universe just said, why don't you combine stand-up comedy and the sex ed that you do at your parties and make stand-up comedy sex ed? And so I just did it. And I booked my first show for a month later. I called a friend who had access to a VFW and I said, you know, would you do it in exchange for a percentage of the ticket sales rather than just a flat out, you know, amount? Because they usually charge like $250.
Yeah.
And at this point, I didn't even know if I had a market. And I planned it. I posted it on Facebook and then I went on vacation for 10 days. And I came back and I just mentioned it a few more times. And I had 20 people at the first show. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I had done co-ed anything because pure romance is ladies only.
Ah, okay.
And the guys were really receptive to the information that I had to say. And it was a lot of fun. I said, all right, well, I'm going to do this again. So 6 months later, I did it again. And this time I sold 90 tickets.
Uh-huh.
And every single person who was at the first one came to the second one.
Cool.
And brought friends.
Yeah.
And then I sold, you know, that one. And then I did it two more times and I sold out two other venues. And I thought, okay, well, I have a cool thing here. But part of me has always wanted to do a TED Talk, and I didn't think stand-up comedy sex ed would be appropriate for a TED Talk. And so I said, well, what can I talk about? Obviously sex, because I've been talking to women about sex for 13 years.
Yep.
And one day I just sat down and I popped open my Word, and I just started banging out everything that I knew and all of the stories and all the people that I've talked to and all of the things that made me love pure romance besides the money.
Yeah.
And it was the stories and it was the people whose lives got changed by just talking about sex, like not doing anything magical, but just giving them a place to ask questions or get questions answered that they didn't even know they had, or release something from their head that they didn't know who else to tell. And I came up with what I now do for networking events and stuff like that. And it's called Let's Talk About Sex, The Value of Open, Honest Discussions About Women's Sexual Health. Nice. And that will be my TED Talk. So I talk about sex all the time.
That's amazing. Yeah. Now you said you wrote down a lot of things, like some questions you get and a lot, and some of your favorite stories. What would you say is your favorite question that you would get when you do these talks and parties with women?
Yeah, the biggest question I get is, can my medication really affect my arousal?
Okay, great. Let's have an answer. What would you
absolutely
say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Heart and blood pressure medications, birth control pills, antidepressants, antihistamines, allergy medications, all of those can affect your body's ability to arouse, to lubricate, in some cases to orgasm, any of those things. And people are always very surprised to hear that because we don't hear that enough. but men hear it. Men hear it. When they go in and the doctor gives them a medication, they're like, okay, this is going to affect your ability to get an erection, so here's also some Viagra to offset that. But they don't tell women, hardly ever, that there's going to be a sexual side effect to their medication. So that's the biggest one people ask. The one that they hear is how important lubrication is for almost everybody. Because 72% of women say adding a good water-based lubricant increases their pleasure. But unless somebody's told us that, we don't know it, and we think there's just something wrong with us. But it's usually heart and blood pressure medications, birth control pills, antidepressants, ugly partners, allergy medication.
Throwing that one, extra one in there. Yeah,
that one's from the comedy show.
I love it. That's really great. And so you said you had a lot of stories. Is there a story you can share here? One of your favorites that you remember?
Well, there's so many, and they're all very important. But the first one that made me realize that what I was doing was important, it had value, and it wasn't just fun and making money, was there was a woman, and I think she was about 35 years old. She was a little bit younger than me, or maybe the same age as me when I started. And she was sitting right in front of me at this party, and she did not want to be there. She would not look at the catalog. She wouldn't fill out the Connect card. She wouldn't touch any products as they went by. She was doing nothing. She was just this big, fat energy suck sitting right in front of me in the room. And I was just like, God, I cannot wait for this party to be over, because I absorbed the energy from the people around me. So I go up to the shopping room, because shopping is always done in private, and I get my room set up, and the first person in the door is this woman. And I thought, is she like going to exorcise me? Is she going to be like, the power of Christ compel you, you know, out demon? I didn't know what was going to go on with this woman. But she closes the door, she leaned against it, and she burst into tears. And it still gives me goosebumps every time I think about this. And I was terrified. I had no idea what was going on. Well, what it turned out is that after the birth of her son 2.5 years earlier, her husband had decided they were done having sex. And he wasn't unhappy with the marriage. He just didn't need sex. And so he moved out into the spare bedroom, and they lived, you know, like roommates, parents. And she didn't want to get a divorce. She wanted to keep her family together. But she didn't think that she wanted to be done having sex. And so I got her like a little something that I thought, you know, would, she wanted something nice and quiet so she wouldn't upset her husband. And I gave her a book. We had a great book on taking care of yourself. And I said to her, and I'm like, this is going to work for you. But like, if I was you, I would get the loudest jackhammer thing we have. And I would walk by his door and I'd be like, I'll be in there if you need me.
But, yes.
And it was the first time I had seen her smile, and she looked so much younger when she was smiling. But I realized that day that she needed that. She needed a place where she could talk to somebody who could answer her questions. And it couldn't be a friend, because her friends know her husband. And as much as we say it's between us, you know, you go home and you talk to your husband and whatever. She didn't want her friends to know that this was going on. And she probably wouldn't have thought to bringing up, like, with her OBGYN. It's not, you know, something, but she also needed it for her health. I mean, penetration is important for our bodies. I've had women come to me, their doctors will tell them that their vaginas are prolapsing because they're not getting enough penetration, and it can go away. And that's the day that I started taking my business very seriously, because as much as I love to entertain and I love to laugh and I love making money, being able to change people's lives with your words is very, very empowering. And so, yes, I was still silly and I was still funny, but I also made sure that I brought in things that were educational, and I would drop facts and I would drop information and I would drop percentages so women would know that they're not unusual, because everybody thinks they're not normal.
Yeah, because it's such a private thing and there's such a taboo to talk about it. We don't really have those conversations. My friends and I, we don't talk about sex, but I think that's me. I think actually my mom was so open that I didn't feel comfortable when I was a kid. So I shut down about it. I don't like talking about sex, but like in my marriage, I try and be really open, because that's where I think you're supposed to be able to communicate, but I probably have plenty of work I could do.
Well, and the thing is, when you come to my stand-up comedy sex ed show, or you go to a party, you don't have to interact. You just have to listen. And that's where, you know, you learn from listening. So I give the information, and that I have the shopping rooms are private, so you can ask questions. And I try to make everything as, like, when I get somebody like you at a party, and they're, I can tell when somebody's afraid. I'll just look at them and say, don't be afraid. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not like, who's the virgin in the crowd? Because I don't want anybody to be uncomfortable. I want them to be comfortable. If people are uncomfortable, they are closed off to your message. And so that's why I like the way I do things. I do a funny little silly game to get everybody started. I don't make anybody touch each other. I don't make anybody go around. Every now and then I'll get a party and they want to be wild. And I'm like, do your wild stuff when I'm in the shopping room. Let me talk to your guests. If you want your guests to buy things, don't make them uncomfortable. Right.
Right. That makes sense. So, and I like how you do it in a way that it's an education and it's empowering. It's not what you would think of when you think of a sex toy party.
Right.
I was going to ask you, so when you do one of your comedy speaker opportunities, do you also have sex toys there as well? Because that's how it looks on your website. Like,
yes.
Speaking, comedy, and sex toys.
Yeah. The stand-up comedy sex ed is a combination of a comedy show, a sex ed class, and an adult toy party.
Got it. Okay.
Because there's no point in me giving you all the information and then leaving out potentially valuable stuff that you might want to use by yourself or with a partner.
Right.
So that's kind of, it's what it is. It's kind of like Dixie's Tupperware party. Like, she's funny, but she's selling Tupperware.
Yes.
So,
that makes sense. Same. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. But my talk is, it's got some comedy in it because I'm just naturally, this is going to sound really egotistical, but I'm naturally kind of funny.
Yeah.
So even though I tried for it to be very serious, I wound up dropping things in there that wound up being amusing and people laugh. And I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting a laugh there, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're a comedian. You'll take all the laughing.
Right. It's that one's designed to be, well, it's designed to be a TED Talk, a keynote. And in the perfect world, and I keep putting this out in the universe, in a perfect world, I get to do my let's talk about sex talk as a keynote. And then later on that night, I am the entertainment and I do stand-up comedy sex ed. So I get double paid.
Yes. And you get to make double the difference.
Yep. Double the difference. Because I'll give them the questions that they're supposed to ask, and then I'll give them the answers that they want to hear.
Mm, I love that. Now, you have a bucket list place you would like to do your talk, so let's put that out to the universe.
Oh, yeah. I want to do it at the Rachel Hollis Rise Conference. I want that one. I think that it would be so much fun. All of those women together and tapping into all of their, all of the things. And why can't we tap into sexual health? And then I get to be the entertainment that night. Make them laugh.
It's probably something that's overlooked a lot when you're talking about women empowerment.
Yeah. Right. And I say in my talk, at the very least, make sure that your doctors know that your sexual health is this just as important as your genital health. It's part of it. So when you ask, when you get a prescription, you ask them, is this going to have any sexual side effects? Just like make sure they know that this is important to you. Because I had a doctor once, she had given me Zoloft, and anybody who's been on antidepressants knows that that's just no more sex. And I was fine at like 25 milligrams, but as soon as I got to 50 milligrams, she actually said to me, she goes, did you know that Zoloft has sexual side effects? And I'm like, well, yeah, obviously, because one, I'm on it, and two, it's what I do for a living. And then when I got to the 50 milligrams and it turned my sex drive down, I told her I'd rather be depressed. Like, I just not having orgasms is not going to make me any happier. So we'll just figure out a new way to deal with everything.
Now that brings up something I wanted to ask you. You're married, right?
Yeah. 24
For a while.
Years.
24 years. How does your husband feel about it? Deal with it? What's his reaction to all of it?
So when I first started, Pure Romance, I came home from a party, it was the second party, and I said, I think that I would be good at this. I think that if I could educate women on how their bodies work and why that works that way, and the different products available to enhance their intimate life by themselves or with a partner, I mean, I might not have said it exactly like that, but that was the gist, but I've been telling this story for a number of years. And I thought he was going to say, no wife of mine's going to sell sex toys. But he said, yeah, no, I think you'd be good at it.
Oh, wow.
I was like, what? Okay, cool. He paid for my kit and he said, you're going to have to pay me back. It was like $1,000 at the time.
Okay.
But I never did actually give him back $1,000, but in my first year in Pure Romance, I earned a trip to Hawaii. I earned a trip to Alaska, a cruise for two, and I earned a trip to Naples, Florida. And I made enough money to buy him a tuxedo so that we went on the cruise. He had a tuxedo and
nice.
He still wears it because he's still trim and adorable. And I paid off his car. And so I never gave him back $1,000, but he got his benefits from it.
He got more than his money's worth back.
He's got more than his money worth. What he got was a woman who made enough money to support her own lifestyle and pay for additional family things whilst being a stay-at-home mom. Which was,
that's awesome.
It was important to him that I be a stay-at-home mom, but I also needed to have my own money.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started doing comedy, he didn't like it. He didn't like it at all. He didn't like, because comedy is almost always in clubs or bars. And open mics are always in clubs or bars. And he's like, why are you doing this? You're old now. You know, we're supposed to be getting their retirement age. Why are you trying to start a new career? And I was just like, dude, I am not just going to sit here and watch Jeopardy and Big Bang Theory for the rest of our lives. Like, we're only 50.
Right.
And he didn't care for the comedy. But then when I started doing stand-up comedy sex ed, and he also didn't think it was funny.
Oh.
And we would get in fights after my comedy shows because, you know, comedy is always based a tiny bit in reality.
Well,
and
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. So we would get, he would be like, oh, so, you know, you think our sex life is like being on a diet. And I was like, no, I don't. But that's the basis of the joke. The basis of the joke being when you're married, you're on a sex diet. Like, you've got a sex menu, and you can add things to the menu, and you can take things off the menu, but you are not allowed to shop off of your menu.
Bring food in from outside.
Exactly, and it doesn't matter how cute that cupcake is, you keep your tongue off that cupcake. It is not your cupcake. It is not on your menu.
Right. Right?
And so it was a pretty funny joke, but he's like, oh.
Yeah.
And I was like, seriously, we got in a huge fight after that one.
Wow.
And then I said, all right, from now on, you're not allowed to come to my comedy shows. But then I started doing the stand-up comedy sex ed, and he came with me to help me set everything up and break everything down. And that first comedy show that I did, I said something, and I heard him laugh in the back of the room. And I was like, I got it. Because he doesn't laugh at my jokes. I
yes.
got him.
Yes.
So now every show, he's there. He helps me set up. He helps me break down. He's very supportive now.
Okay. Well, you know, sometimes it's hard for family to come around, but I'm glad he came around.
He did.
And that he's now your roadie so that you can really enjoy the fruits of your labor, of what you've given to the audience and contributed to them. And now you get it back from them. That's beautiful.
That's awesome. And my parents are supportive too. My parents are supportive of the Pure Romance and of the Let's Talk About Sex Talk. They have not yet been to a stand-up comedy sex ed event, and I doubt they will because they're both over 70. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they're like, some jokes are just not appropriate for our age. And I was like, that's true. I've known you my whole life. My mom came to the very first time I did it out loud. My mom came with me. And afterwards, she says, that was so good.
Oh, that's
that was
so great.
So good.
That's so great. It's great to have a supportive family to support your dreams.
I agree.
Yeah. Now, you have been selling sex toys for a long time. So we cannot finish this conversation without talking about your favorite types. What do you recommend in what situations? Give us some good advice here.
Well, the most important thing to realize is that every single woman is different. Our bodies are different. What we like is different. Where we have our orgasms from are different. Everybody's clitoris has like a favorite spot. And so that spot is where you're going to get the most sensation. So and your sensitivity levels are different. So I hear people all the time say, you have to have a bullet, you have to have a bullet, you have to have a bullet. And I say, you do not have to have a bullet. A bullet for me instantly makes me numb. Like I'm hypersensitive to sight, to sound, to sensation. So, and this is going to drive everybody crazy because you cannot get one of these on a Pure Romance website. Glass toys.
Glass?
Glass.
Glass?
Because glass. Or stone. You can get quartz toys too.
What? I've heard of this before.
Right? So, but here's the cool thing. Glass at room temperature. So let's just say on an average day, like right now, it's 80 degrees in my office or 68, right? That's still 10, 20, 30 degrees below body temperature. So if you take a piece of glass and you just put it on the inside of your elbow, you can feel it. Like all the blood rushes to your elbow to go, ooh, we got to warm this spot up. What happened? So now you take a nice glass toy and you gently rub it on the outside, just on the vulva, right around the clitoral area, and that ice coldness hits and the blood flow is going to rush to the area and say, oh my God, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Right? So you're drawing the blood flow. Because it is smooth and most of them have shapes to them, you can also put them inside and hit your G-spot, and then you're taking that ice cold and sticking it on your G-spot, which will draw the blood flow, helping you get more aroused. The other thing about a glass toy is you can also warm it up. So you could put it in a glass of warm water. You don't want to like boil it, put it in a microwave, but warm water, and it will have the same effect. So it doesn't have to vibrate. It doesn't have to be loud. It doesn't have to have bells and whistles. It doesn't have to do anything. It can just be glass.
Wow.
Not that there's anything wrong with those other things, because I know that women really, really love their toys that do their things. But it doesn't have to have a lot of bells and whistles.
Okay. See, now that is very interesting and unique advice. I've never heard of either glass or stone. And I'll also share, I'm way outside my comfort zone with this conversation.
You know, you're gonna edit it out.
But they say you have, no, I'm gonna leave it in. I'm gonna leave it in, because you have to go outside your comfort zone if you want to grow. So I'm just letting you know that you're talking about all those things. I'm like, all right, I'm uncomfortable, but it's okay. It's okay. I'm uncomfortable, but it's okay. It's okay. I'm gonna roll with it. I'm gonna roll with it.
If you go to a party, then that comes after shaving cream and body lotion and massage products and arousal creams and lubrication. So there's a foreplay
involved in it.
So that by the time you get to the toys, you're warmed up enough to be open to the conversation of toys. And the more we hear the words clitoris and vulva and G-spot and vagina, the less uncomfortable we will be, because that's probably a lot of what made you uncomfortable.
It is. It totally is.
And I was super, super uncomfortable when I first started too, because I mean, I didn't use proper body part names.
Anything else that you think we should know before we wrap up? Any advice or anything at all?
Well, the last line for my Let's Talk About Sex talk is, the next time someone you know, like, and trust invites you to one of those parties, just go and bring a friend. You will be surprised how much you can learn.
Great. I think that's good advice.
Yes. As long as somebody you know, like, and trust.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, exactly.
Right.
I think that's key. Good. So I always like to turn the tables before we wrap up and see if you have a question for me. Do you have a question you'd like to ask?
I do. If you didn't have your plate story license plate, what kind of license plate would you have?
I don't know. I feel like I've gotten the license plate bug. So I would probably always have a vanity plate. My coaching business is I Woke Up Awesome. So I'd probably do something on that, play on words, something with awesome. The first person I ever had on the podcast, she wasn't sure what to have. So she put a poll up and her friends voted on a bunch of different options. And I think that's kind of fun. I want to thank you so much for being on the Plate Story podcast. It has been so fun. And I really appreciate and acknowledge what you're doing for women, because there are way more people like me, I think, than there are people like you, right?
For sure.
And so being able to have a place where you can go and listen and learn and open up to new ideas about something that typically is not discussed and is pretty taboo unless you're seeking it out, it's really powerful. And so I just appreciate everything you're doing.
Thank you. So thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for being here. This was super fun. And even though I knew the topic, unexpected. And I love that too.
Perfect. All right.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Trista's Plate Story Podcast. Please subscribe to Trista's Plate Story Podcast to get the story behind all those vanity plates driving with you on the road. And if you would like to nominate the owner of a license plate, including you, or visit any of our partners and sponsors, come and see us at platestory.com. That's PL8story.com, and give us the details. If you enjoyed this episode, please drop a review and give us a share. I'm Trista Polo, wishing you well on the road to your next adventure.